Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The organization Up With Trees is devoted to maintaining and improving our urban forest in Tulsa and throughout Tulsa County. Most residents would say that our canopy of trees in the city is a great benefit. But since the ice storm of 2007, that group has worked to replace 10,000 of the tens of thousands of trees lost in the city since that event, the subsequent drought, and periodic wind events. Now the organization is partnering with area councilmen and governments, school districts, urban foresters, and other stakeholders to create a Tulsa Urban Forest Master Plan. This year-long process kicks off tomorrow with a symposium for the leaders and will be followed with a series of public meetings as well as an ongoing educational outreach to the community to explain the benefits of having a healthy urban forest canopy. Well, my guest today is Up With Trees Executive Director Steve Grantham to talk about their work and the need for a master plan. Steve Grantham, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich, for having us.
Up With Trees is starting the planning process for creating an urban forest master plan. Now, why do we need a master plan for the trees in our city?
We really want to set a long-term vision for what will Tulsa, the surrounding communities, what will green country look like 20 years from now. And in planning that out, in setting that vision, the hopes, the dreams, the goals, will make it much more attainable and likely to succeed. So the idea of the plan is setting that long-term vision, taking a snapshot of what we currently have, and really the plan is how do we get from where we are today to where we want to be in the future.
Now, have we recovered from all the effects of the ice storm? I know that after the ice storm, we lost so many trees that there was a major planting effort going on. Have we recovered?
The major planting effort that you referred to was to plant 10,000 trees in public spaces citywide. And we are about to complete that this fall. But if you look at what we lost during the ice storm, the projections were tens of thousands of trees. So one, we haven't recovered. You know, the math doesn't work out on that. And you can drive around town even now and see storm damage that really came from 07. But if you think of what we have dealt with since then, we've had 2 years of profound drought. And you can drive through neighborhoods, certainly in East Tulsa that I know of, where we've lost some old mature trees just due to those years of drought. So, you know, since 2007, we've had drought issues, we've had wind events, and some of that is...
That's going to happen.
It's going to happen. We have some old neighborhoods that, you know, were planted after World War II, and all of those trees are kind of the common age, and they have kind of lived their life cycle. And that's one thing that we have seen in certain areas, in a lot of areas. We have older trees, and trees are living things. They have a life cycle just like you and me. And so there are large swaths that are losing their trees just to nature. And there haven't been planting initiatives. And that's one thing of this master plan is how do we engage the residential sector, because we plant in public spaces, but how do we educate and get people to say, you know, we are going to actively plant, not just for today, but really setting up green country for the next generation as well.
Do you think in mature neighborhoods where there are lots of those sort of post-war trees, and I live in one of those neighborhoods where, you know, you have really large trees, you know, 50, 75, 100 feet up, providing lots of shade, and you say, hey, I'm in great shape. And I think what you're talking about is the complacency of starting to plant young trees so that when those trees inevitably come down, there'll be new trees to take their place.
Absolutely. We did a canopy assessment in 2010 with a grant from the State Forestry Department, and we looked at three different distinct types of neighborhoods. One is the affluent, well taken care of trees, and kind of the feedback we got from that neighborhood was, we don't need to plant, we have great canopy coverage, you know. And just a couple years later, I think it was July 24th, 2 years ago, we had a significant wind event that literally ripped up a lot of those trees in the Maple Ridge area. And it was here are the things that we were saying are going to happen. You're going to have wind events in Oklahoma. You're going to have ice events. It is making sure that we have a good diversity, both in species, but in age in the population of the urban forest.
Now, I've always heard stories that, you know, when you fly into Tulsa, you know, there's a sea of green. I mean, it's not like you're flying over a city. You're flying over this green forest. I would think we're in much better shape than a lot of cities.
You know, we are than some, and some are better than us. You know, in that canopy assessment in 2010, it was the city of Tulsa has 22% tree canopy coverage. Is that good? Is that bad? It's just a number. And
how does that compare with most cities our
size?
So,
you know, in looking at...
I would think further south, it might be a little more like it's in the southeast.
Sure.
Know.
There's kind of a benchmark. If your city was founded in a forested region, you've probably got somewhere around 40% canopy coverage. If you were in a plains region, you're somewhere around 20%. And if you're in a desert, you're somewhere around 10. So we are in a plains region. So 20%, you know, we're right within that. I know Buffalo, New York, just because we have a benchmark study looking at different places. Buffalo is about 15%. You look at Atlanta and Washington, D.C. Because of building that has gone on, they suffered a lot of loss. And in looking at satellite imagery, it was comparing, you know, a couple decades. And it was like, wow, we've lost a lot. So they're shooting to get back to in excess of 40%. Going back to that ice storm conversation that we had just a minute ago, we lost tens of thousands of trees and turned around to replace, from Up With Trees and the philanthropic community, 10,000 trees. And many of those tens of thousands that we lost were bigger, more mature. We went in with smaller trees, and it's going to take a while for those to replace in size what we had lost. It is this constant process of continually planting to make sure that we're replacing. But if we do want to grow that canopy coverage, to make sure that we can outpace those natural events.
Now, what are the benefits of having an urban forest? Because I think in the days after the ice storm, I know when you drove down my street, it was like it was a barricade. It looked like something from the Civil War with, you know, stacks of trees 10, 12, 15 feet high. What are the benefits of having this urban forest on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. So trees and the urban forest that they make up have real, tangible environmental, economic, and social benefits. There are direct correlations between the percentage of canopy coverage that a city has and specific health benefits, reduction in cardiopulmonary issues, because trees take out pollutants in the air, one. Trees also create shade where you have a more walkable, bikeable, runnable community. So generally people are in better health, which drives down diabetes rates and things like that. So there are general correlations between canopy coverage, but also crime statistics. When it comes to crime statistics, there are direct correlations against minor crimes like vandalism and graffiti. But also there are studies that were done in public housing projects where trees were planted, canopy grown, and domestic violence rates went down. Why? Well, I don't know. But there is a correlation there. You know, there have been studies done that there's a biological effect to just being in nature. Stress hormones go down.
Now, correlations don't mean causality.
That is correct.
But let's talk maybe about some things that are a little stronger on the urban forest. What about wastewater and storm
you know,
interception?
We just had 15 inches of rain, you know, last month, the wettest month ever in Tulsa. No flooding. It's a great aspect of city planning and the Corps of Engineers. But if you think on a daily basis, the water that doesn't hit the ground because of all the leaf coverage, the interception. I can't tell you what all the trees in Tulsa do. Part of this process for the Urban Forest Master Plan is to get that data. But we last year finished a full inventory of all the Up With Trees sites. And there is a USDA software where we can put in the type of tree, the size of tree, and it computes that for us. I can tell you the 20,000 trees that Up With Trees has out on the side of the highway and in parks and at schools intercepts more than 20 million gallons of stormwater. And think if we didn't have those trees, how much more pollutants would be running into our creeks and our streams, into our lakes and rivers. It has a real tangible effect.
Now, one of the things that Up With Trees has been doing is encouraging people who are building surface parking areas to include trees into that. I can see that one of the other benefits of having an urban forest is it reduces the heat island.
Absolutely. I mean, if you were to look at heat island maps and in core places such as downtown or the 71st and 169 corridor, they would be bright red on those maps showing a lot of radiant heat and whatnot. So in trying to show people that planting trees, helping shade that, reduces that. But there's also a direct benefit to business. Data shows that people will spend 9 to 12% more, stay longer in central business districts that have great canopy coverage. So if you think about that, you know, if I owned a business, I want people to stay there. If I were a restaurateur and they're staying longer, you know, they're going to come. They're going to eat.
Obviously, you have alfresco dining. You want to be in the shade.
Absolutely.
In Oklahoma.
Absolutely. And, you know, and if you think about that from a city planning standpoint, tax revenue, tax base, all of those things. Again, real tangible environmental, economic, and social benefits.
My guest today is Steve Grantham, the executive director of Up With Trees. Up With Trees is beginning a planning process to create a Tulsa Urban Forest Master Plan. There'll be a symposium tomorrow with the stakeholders, if you will, in the community, and then there'll be a series of public meetings to talk about this. So why do we need a master plan at this particular point?
Really great stories don't just happen. They are planned out. And if you think of the urban forest as the story that we are telling to ourselves, to our children, the next generation, and really to the world, that we want Tulsa, we want Green Country to be the place that people choose to work and to play, to come visit, to start businesses, and really setting the stage for that.
What is this process going to involve?
So this process is going to be about a year-long process. There will be additional assessments that need to be done, looking at what is Tulsa County's urban landscape, what does it look like right now, and taking into account what trees comprise it, what are the opportunities that we have, and what are some of the issues that are going to come down the pike. There's a bug that's making its way across the United States. It's about to southwest Missouri right now. And when it gets here, it is going to impact all the ash trees in Oklahoma. And how many do we have? Where are they? What is the plan to take those out, to replace those? That day is coming. So it is both the opportunities and the concerns that we've got.
Now, when you're talking about inventory of trees, I would think that would be something Up With Trees already has or not.
So we have an inventory of our over 700 sites.
Yeah, your sites and on their public land.
Correct. And then, you know, Tulsa Parks has an inventory of theirs. PSO has a relative inventory of the lines that they control. But if you think about all of the other areas that may not be touched by those, it's a significant amount of area. But also, you know, the 2010 assessment that we had done was just for the city of Tulsa. It wasn't for Sand Springs. It wasn't for Broken Arrow or Owosso or Jinx or Bixby. And in looking at this larger map, it is taking the assessments of the entire area to look at composition, to look at relative age, relative health, to really quantify that data that we need to look at to help plan out what we're going to do over the next 20 years.
Now, when you talk about Tulsa County, do most of the city leaders buy into this idea that we need to have an urban forest? Because with an urban forest, there's higher maintenance costs. You know, you're having to rake leaves, you know, after a windstorm, you're going to be picking up limbs. Is there buy-in from all this?
Sure. So part of this process leading up to tomorrow's symposium has been an engagement process of those community leaders, of the people who are on the ground actually doing the work day to day. And it has been very positive. In talking to them, I would get into some of the conversation and it's like, hey, I get this. You've got me. What do we need to do? But I think with the assessments and really quantifying in a real dollar amount, you know, how much stormwater interception is there in the tens of millions or hundreds of millions of gallons? If we didn't have an urban forest, what would that cost us in concrete? What would that cost us in labor to maintain that stormwater system? What would that cost us in our stormwater permit with the EPA? And what does it cost us in the ecology of our streams and our rivers and our lakes? And really putting a dollar amount so people can make a choice on how we expend our tax revenue going forward.
Now, you earlier mentioned that Tulsa has about a 22% coverage. Is that the goal, to keep it about that percentage, or would you like to see it much higher?
So, as I said, 22% good, bad, it's just a number. That is one of the easiest ways to measure impact. And again, because of those direct correlations, if you can grow canopy coverage. But canopy coverage is not the end-all be-all. There have been certain municipalities that have increased canopy coverage without any intent. Detroit would be one of them. You know, the outskirts of Detroit just have kind of gone back to nature. They may have the cleanest air and cleanest water in a long time, but there's not the aesthetic benefit.
There's no economic benefit.
There's no economic benefit. There's no property value. And it really goes back to intent. Is it intentional? And in looking at whether it's central business districts, whether it's in places of education, because, you know, if kids can look out on green space, studies show they can concentrate better, they do better on testing, and there's data to back all of this up. So intentionally planting at schools or in those public places and parks where people want to live around, that increases property value, all of those things.
Well, let me ask you, just around the county and especially in the city, how well are we maintaining what we have? Because when I think of like downtown in July and August, the trees I do see in the downtown central business district are under a lot of stress.
Sure.
From the heat.
Absolutely. So to downtown specifically, over the last 3 years, there's been a concerted effort to plant more trees downtown. We have been part of that with the Downtown Coordinating Council and the Tulsa Beautification Foundation. And that's been a really great part. And this speaks to why a plan, because we all have to work together to be as effective as possible. So this collaboration that we hope to continue to build upon, we've been out planting. Downtown Coordinating Council are utilizing their funds for the infrastructure work. Tulsa Beautification Foundation put up a matching grant. So we actually run a night watering crew to go water so we don't congest the streets or anything else. And our agreement is to do that for 3 years after we plant the trees to get those trees established. But because of that power of collaboration, you've got three entities doing the work instead of one. It speeds up the process. Once the trees are planted and established, Downtown Coordinating Council can utilize their dollars long-term to maintain the trees. So there is a coordinated plan for the long-term maintenance of the trees.
You know, I was thinking of downtown and just on the east side of City Hall. I refer to it as Grackle Alley. Yeah. There's a whole line of trees right next to the new City Hall. But it becomes a nesting location for birds in the area. And if you park your car there, you're going to have a new color car when you come back to it. What are common sense? I mean, how do you work with business owners to reduce that negative impact of having those trees and the birds nesting there?
Sure. And so that goes back to a maintenance aspect and making sure that the trees are, you know, trained at a young age as far as proper pruning is done, and then that is continued going forward. One reason they like to nest there is because it is very dense. No wind can come through. If those trees are properly trained early on and that maintenance is continued, wind goes through, birds don't like to nest there, you know, or congregate there long term. And so it does go to a maintenance issue. And so the intent cannot just be an intent to plant. It has to be an intent to maintain as well.
Mm. My guest today is Steve Grantham, Executive Director of Up With Trees. Up With Trees is starting a year-long urban forest master plan. It begins tomorrow with a symposium for stakeholders in the community to sort of figure out what the issues are. So after this symposium, and I assume you'll get buy-in from most of the county leaders, what's the next steps? You're going to be talking to the public. What sort of things do you want to know from the public?
Well, we want to know what are those big issues that people see in their communities, the issues and the opportunities. You know, and they will probably come down to things like we want a healthier city. We want a more sustainable community.
But do they relate that to trees, though?
Well, and part of that goes back to that intent, people telling us this is what we want, the look, the feel. You know, one of the jokes at some of these conventions are, whatever the question is, the answer is trees. I don't know that I go that far, but... you know, we have sat down with people and kind of given them some questions and say, we'd like you to answer these. And anything that they can come up with, you know, and maybe that's I'm a tree nerd or whatever. It's like, oh, well, this is how we could do, we could address that through planting trees. And trees aren't a silver bullet, but they do, again, have real tangible benefits to where we live. They are an asset to the community. They take out tons of pollutants. They keep our water cleaner than it would be without them. They divert that stormwater. They improve the values of your and my home. And, you know, if you think that trees are an asset, we need your support in this process as well.
And I assume there'll be a number of meetings over the coming year to sort of get a residents' reaction. And one of the things we talked about earlier was the fact that you said really in the public areas, you know, we have this ongoing plan. In the private sector, we really depend on homeowners. Is there a way for homeowners in a way in which you're not talking to a tree trimmer or somebody who's out to make a buck by doing work, to get an assessment of what their home, what their, you know, their environment looks, you know, to let them know you probably ought to be planting a couple of small trees because these guys are going to be gone in 10 years or 20 years.
Sure. That is one of the main questions that we have to answer through this process. In talking to several of the city councilors, it was, how do we deal with the residential issues, both from there are certain trees or areas that have trees right now that they haven't been maintained in a long time.
And don't you dare touch them.
Well, but from a, you know, from a socioeconomic standpoint, there aren't the dollars to take care of them. And it's, how do we as a community address that? Because it is an eyesore. It does become a public safety issue at some point in time. And so how are we going to address those? But, you know, half of our mission, it is to plant, but it all is also to educate. So I see a lot of that falling to us. How do we get out into the community to educate people on, you know, planting for the future in their own yard as well?
Now, Upwood Trees gives away a lot of trees every spring. I know this. Now, one of the things you're talking about is getting a more complete inventory of the species you have. Will you gear those free tree giveaways to the species you need once you have that information?
That is correct. You know, in looking,
I mean, are you already doing that to an extent?
In a lot of ways, we are. We've had the ability over the last 6 years as that program has gone on to be able to choose those species, things that do well here in our climate, to make sure that they have the best chance of thriving and being sustainable. And so we have done that for the last 6 years. But as we go through this process, as we engage experts in the fields, can we do better?
Now, in our last couple of minutes, I know one of the things Upwood Trees is doing now is to sort of educate people about what a neighborhood urban forest looks like. You're doing a series of tree walks this summer.
Sure.
And one's tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
We do have one tomorrow.
It's in Maple Ridge.
It is. And in going through, pointing out the great trees in that area, but also, you know, Maple Ridge happened to be the neighborhood that I referenced earlier, the established neighborhood that with great tree canopy coverage where, you know, the homeowners are like, you know, we're good. But 2 years ago, that wind event came, took out some significant numbers of, you know, rather established trees. We held a informational thing at the garden center a few weeks later. We had an overflow crowd, and most of them were the neighbors going, okay, what can we do? Because it definitely came to pass saying, these older trees, this is what's going to happen. It really woke a lot of people up.
Yeah, and so that will be going on through the summer as well?
So, yes.
Neighborhoods?
Various neighborhoods. You know, last month we went out to Tulsa Botanic Garden, month before TU. But going forward, it's the second Tuesday of the month, 6 o'clock. They can go to our website, upwithtrees.org, and get a calendar.
And get all information on everything going on.
Absolutely.
With Up With
Trees. All of our programs, yes.
Steve Grantham, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks, Rich, for having me.
Steve Grantham is the executive director of Up With Trees, which is embarking on a year-long project to create a Tulsa Urban Forest Master Plan. It gets underway with a symposium for major stakeholders, and there'll be a series of public meetings through the year. Also, you can learn more about their neighborhood walks to learn more about the urban forest at upwithtrees.org. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Dr. John Schumann.
My son and I recently saw the Oscar-winning documentary Citizen 4 about NSA contractor and leaker Edward Snowden. It's a riveting film because it not only covers the topic of unwarranted government surveillance, but it was made in real time as Laura Poitras, the filmmaker, was in Hong Kong filming Snowden and reporter Glenn Greenwald as the first stories broke and Snowden's identity became known. It's an interesting coincidence, then, to read the obituary of an almost whistleblower by the name of Dr. Erwin Schatz. Dr. Schatz is remembered for writing a letter to the authors of a medical journal article in 1965 about the infamous Tuskegee syphilis study in which black men in the South, primarily Alabama, were followed without treatment for decades to learn about the natural history of untreated syphilis. The study was administered by the United States Public Health Service and is widely remembered and taught as an egregious example of bad medical ethics. If the profession's dictum is first do no harm, the Tuskegee study caused irreparable harm by not treating an illness for which there was a surefire cure, penicillin. The obituary contains all of Dr. Schatz's three-line letter, which was sent to the study's senior author. Quote, "I am utterly astounded by the fact that physicians allow patients with potentially fatal disease to remain untreated when effective therapy is available. I assume you feel that the information which is extracted from observation of this untreated group is worth their sacrifice. If this is the case, then I suggest the United States Public Health Service and those physicians associated with it in this study need to reevaluate their moral judgments in this regard." End quote. Unfortunately, when his letter went unanswered, Dr. Schatz did not persist. It took the whistleblowing of a Public Health Service investigator named Peter Buxton to finally bring the study to a close in 1972. Unsurprisingly, it took Buxton a number of tries to bring the unethical nature of the study to light. He first tried to go through official channels as early as 1966, but was met with resistance on several occasions. It wasn't until Buxton leaked the information to a reporter at the Washington Star that the story received enough attention to stop the study. Edward Snowden registered his concerns with his superiors also, before ultimately deciding to go to the media because no one in his hierarchy seemed poised to question the status quo.
Dr. John Schumann is an internal medicine physician, the interim president of OU Tulsa, the substitute host on Studio Tulsa on Health, and a contributor of commentary to Studio Tulsa as well. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.